Praise the Lord. So, we finally arrive to the last three feasts. And I hope that the Lord will really show us something simple and yet practical for us to really grasp and experience. The first four feasts we have seen very clearly. They were accomplished by the Lord in His first coming. There is no doubt about that. From His incarnation all the way to His ascension to the throne. Right. What a wonderful accomplishment. When we come to the Lord's table, we definitely have to get into these feasts. Learn to do it. Otherwise, our enjoyment of the Lord's table is not going to be that rich. It's such a wonderful, all-inclusive table. Right? It's not just to remember Him that He died for us, but all of these wonderful feasts. Because God's work through Christ is not only for our salvation, but all the way to fulfill God's plan. God will never fall short for the fulfillment of His wonderful plan with us. Unfortunately, many of the Christians only emphasize the matter of redemption, forgiveness, and then going to heaven. But really, never went to the point of the goal of our salvation is to inherit the kingdom. The kingdom, praise the Lord. And God's work will never fall short of that. Right. So we have a wonderful hope of glory for the coming kingdom. That is why we have the last three feasts. After the Lord has accomplished such wonderful doing the Father's will from incarnation all the way to ascension. Now He is waiting to come again, the second coming. And this is what we are all waiting for. Are you not waiting for a second coming? I hope you are. We should be waiting for the Lord's second coming. Don't you believe He's coming soon? Amen. You know, the disciples in the early days, in the first centuries, they thought the Lord was going to come right away. But He didn't. Right. I always told the saints, it's good the Lord didn't tell them, okay, I am going to be away for 2,000 years. You think it's good for the Lord to tell them that? Definitely not. Otherwise, they won't be waiting for the Lord to come back, right? They will say, wow, 2,000 years, so I better take it easy. Right? He's not going to come back that quickly, so let's take a vacation. Let's take it easy, let us rest. And, go on cruises. Every year you can go on cruise. And, nobody will be prepared for His coming. Really. But you know, although the Lord did not come during their time, and only after 2,000 years, but they didn't have 2,000 years to live and to prepare. Right? So, how many years do you have as a human life on this earth? 70, if you're healthy, 80, and if you're super healthy, 90, 95, perhaps even 100. Above 100, not too many. Right? so. Whether the Lord will come back in 2,000 years, or 1,000 years, or 3,000 years, it doesn't really matter, because you have to be prepared. Right? You have to be prepared. Because if you're not prepared like the foolish virgins, then you passed away without oil, without maturing, and not prepared. Right? When you wake up again, when the Lord comes, that's not very good. That is really not very good. Just like the foolish virgin, when the Lord came, they all woke up. Then they realized they are not ready. If you died not ready, you will wake up not ready. Don't say, oh, John, you're giving me pressure. No, I'm not giving anybody pressure. I'm telling the truth. Sorry about that. Right? Because the Lord said so. I think everybody knows the parable of the 10 virgins. Right? So, we all need to have a heart to prepare for the Lord's coming again. Especially in our days. Because in our days, suppose the Lord comes at your time. You're still young, right? 30 maybe, 30-some, 28, I don't know. Huh? 27. Wow, 27, so young. Oh, I wish I were 27. I'm just the opposite, I'm 72. Oh, Lord. You definitely will experience the Lord's second coming. Really. So, remain healthy. Okay? Don't eat too much fat. Do some exercise every day. And get some good rest. Right. And prepare yourself for the Lord's coming. Why? Because you have two possibilities if you're still alive at the time of the Lord Jesus coming. First possibility is you will be the first fruits to be harvested. That's the first possibility. Or the second possibility is to go through the great tribulation. You don't want that possibility. Neither do I. But you have to know. Right. You have to know. You may say, oh, this is just knowledge. No, it's not knowledge. It's very real. When the Lord comes, you're not ready. Right. Even at that time, if you have the knowledge, it's too late. Remember, the last feast is also the last harvest, the last three feasts. You remember the first harvest, the second harvest, and the third harvest. You remember the first meeting? Don't forget that. Don't think, oh, the harvest here does not mean anything. You are wrong. And don't think it's my thought. No, I'm not that smart to think of this. You know, it is written. Thank you, brother. It is written. It is written. And so the Lord's coming again is the harvest time. Remember this. So are you going to be the first fruits to be harvested first? To heavenly Zion before the throne. Wow. This is a very, very special rapture, because it talks about Zion. The man child is only raptured to the throne, but the first fruits will be raptured to Mount Zion in the heavenly Zion. Why? Because in our age, and never before, the Lord is building the church as the Zion. Where is it written? Hebrews chapter 12. You have come to Mount Zion. Now, suppose you're not in Mount Zion today. You're somewhere in Egypt. You think the Lord will rapture you to Mount Zion up there? Or if you're in Babylon? Or if you're in Sodom and Gomorrah? Or maybe you're in Hollywood? I don't know where you're going to be. Right? You will definitely not be raptured to the heavenly Mount Zion. So where should you be today? You should be in Zion today. You should be in Zion. Because this is where the Lord wants to be, even now. Right. So Mount Zion is very important. And in the proper church life, is really the best place for you to mature in life, to become the first fruit. Yeah. Sarah told me about the law of nature, right? The first fruits. If a fruit is ripened, right? And some of the fruits are not ripe. Some are ripened first, of course. Right? There is no oneness tree like that, right? Who was talking about oneness tree? I think Moses. You're right. That would have been great, right? Then all of us would be raptured. Very good idea, but not practical. Not workable. I'm sorry. Now, tell us, Sarah, stand up and tell us what you have studied in college, in high school.
If you pick a ripe fruit.
You pick a ripe fruit.
If you pick a ripe fruit and you have unripened fruits that are also picked off the tree, and they're together, then the unripened fruits will ripen.
Why?
Because the ripened fruit will release a gas.
A what?
The ripened fruit will release a gas.
A gas?
Yes, that will cause the other fruits to be ripened.
Really? You mean to say that ripened fruit will influence the unripened fruit to be ripened?
Yes.
Wow. And what happened if you put all these unripened fruit with a rotten fruit? Wow! Is that scientific?
Yeah, you can verify with Michelle.
Michelle, stand up, please. Verify, verify. Come on, please, please. You know, remember, God created all this nature. Well, there's a law of nature. Verify it. Is she telling the truth or not? She is telling the truth. So what should we do today? You think that principle doesn't work in a spiritual sense? Think about it. You think about it. Right. May the Lord really open our eyes, right? May the Lord really open our eyes to see, Lord, we want to become the first fruits. We want to ripen first. Mm-hmm. You know, mercy when our sister went to the church conference in Stuttgart, right? Last year. What happened? This year. What happened? Did you just get some knowledge? Some dead knowledge? No life? Life. She got life. Mercy told me that for 40-some years, she was elsewhere in denominations. Read the Bible so many times, right? For 40 years. Never saw the matter of the kingdom. Never. Never saw the church. But when she was in the conference, what happened? The Lord opened your eyes. And now she's here. Why are you here now? Because she saw. And when she came back, she tried to tell so many of her friends and relatives about what she saw, but nobody was interested. Right. So, praise the Lord for the church life, the proper church life. Because this is really the place where you can at least ripen first. Really. We want to help one another to become first fruits. Or do you encourage everybody to remain not rotten, but unripe? Unripe. Grow faster. But, you know, you want to encourage people to grow faster, or they might get offended. What's going to happen? No. Actually, you don't have to encourage people to grow faster. You grow faster. You grow faster. Then you will produce a gas, a kind of a hormone. Right? Right? You produce a pneumatic gas. Call the Spirit. And that will really encourage everybody and help everybody to, wow, also become ripened. This is the law of nature. This is created by God. This is so wonderful. We all have to learn this. Right. If you have saints that are ripened and you are there with them together, you will be influenced. What's wrong with that kind of an influence? Don't you want to be influenced by that pneumatic gas or whatever? Right? Because, hey, the Spirit is really, has very wonderful influence on other people as well. Right? Paul said, we are a, what? Sweet-smelling savor. Not only to God, but to those people who are around you. So, praise the Lord for that. Right. You will be an influence anyway, whether you like it or not. The question is, are you a positive influence or are you a negative influence? If you are with rotten fruit, what was the law of nature again? Everything else will rot. But if you are with a ripened fruit, then all the unripened fruit will ripen. What a wonderful law of nature that is. Right? So I really hope today in the church life, we will all aspire to ripened. And if we do that, and if we mature just like Paul said, forget about the past, even the elementary teachings, we have to go on to maturity. This is really wonderful. Don't you want to do that? To prepare? So when you're mature, you will help others also to mature. You will be an encouragement to others. This is very good. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 3? Not that I have already attained, but I just move slowly like a turtle. And whether I attained or not, hey, I'm not going to pressure myself. Did Paul say that?
No.
Are you sure? What did he say? What?
Press on.
I pressure on. Press on. I pursue after. Use the word pursue. Stretch forward. Forgetting the things that are behind, I press toward what is ahead, the goal. Well, and Paul says, as many of you as are mature should have this in mind. This is what Paul said. Right. So, praise the Lord. I hope this conference, and especially the last three feasts, will really encourage us to prepare for the Lord's coming. I'm not trying to scare you or anything. Please don't think I'm not such a bad guy. I don't try to scare you. But, you know, you really need to know because the Lord is telling us. You have to. You have to prepare for the Lord's coming. Right. I want to be prepared. Right. So, we have the last three feasts. It says here, the last three feasts will be accomplished, or much more so, will be celebrated by us, not just at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but preparing us for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, I don't want to write it so long, right? But this last three feasts will help you to prepare for the Lord's coming. The first four feasts are accomplished by the Lord exclusively. But the last three feasts, you play a very important part actively because the Lord is not going to blow the trumpet for you. It's the feast of the trumpet. So who is blowing the trumpet? Who blows the trumpet? The angels? No, you and I, we should keep the feast of the trumpet. Now, if you read Numbers chapter 10, right, you can go home and read it yourself, not right now, but you can read it. You can see the Lord asked Moses to make trumpets out of silver. Oh, it's wonderful. Silver trumpet. Silver in the Bible definitely signifies redemption, salvation, right? The redemption silver, you remember, right? So, we need to have a silver trumpet. Do you have silver trumpet? No? Oh, I hope you do. Right. It's not a physical trumpet. This is your trumpet. Right. We all have a trumpet. But it all depends what kind of a sound comes out of your trumpet. What did Paul say? Let your words always be what? Seasoned with salt and full of grace. Right? So that it will really be a help and salvation to those who hear you. And then this is really very important here. Right? So when the Lord came to this earth, whenever he opened his mouth, so many people received the word of God and heard and really was attracted. So here, you can really read Numbers 10, the purpose of blowing the silver trumpets. Okay, let us just read a list, because this is what the list says. Yeah? First of all, the calling together of the assembly, gathering of God's people. Whenever God wants to gather his people, then the priest has to blow the trumpet. It's very good. So we love to really come to gather together, but not just by ourselves, but to gather together with the Lord. It's not good when we just gather and not with the Lord. I don't know what kind of a trumpet you'll be sounding. Because Paul says if you just blow any kind of a trumpet and any kind of a sound, well, it's not very good. So when we gather together, it must be for the good, not for any other purposes. Right? Because God is gathering us together. If it is not called by God, it's not a silver trumpet, it is some other kind of a trumpet, it is no good. Right? So it is God who called us together. And the church is called by God. We were called like Abraham was called. Right? The God of glory appeared. And we are all called by him. Aren't you called? Yes, definitely. Right? So, it is the calling together of the assembly. This is really wonderful. We love to get together. Yeah. To hear the Lord. Right? To know what is in God's heart. Okay? And then, if the Lord wants to call the leaders of the tribe, well, there's another sound, the second sound, right? The first is for the assembly, and the second one, it is for the leaders of the group of the tribes. So you can really see, right, we do have different sounding of the trumpet, or the journeying of the camp. If the Lord wants to go on in the wilderness, then again that silver trumpet will sound, and you have to hear the sound, and you know, oh, it's time to get up and go. Right. So, you need to have an ear to hear. If you don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking, then you don't go anywhere. You stay put. So, we should have a wonderful trumpet here in the church life. Not just any trumpet. And then there is the trumpet sound for warning. Alarming the people when the enemy was approaching. Otherwise everybody sleeping and nobody knew that the enemy is approaching the camp. He'll be slaughtered. So, you need to really sound the alarm. Praise the Lord. Right? And then, of course, for going to war against the enemy, there's also a trumpet. It has to be blown. Right. And number five, especially in Psalm 81, verse 3 there, in the day of gladness, the set feasts and the new moons. Wow. Feasting time. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? So, in a feasting time, you blow these wonderful silver trumpets. Yeah. Now, other people say, oh, it's a horn of whatever. I don't think so, because the Lord definitely say these silver trumpets are to be sounded during the feasting time. So, praise the Lord. It's wonderful trumpets. Now, how do you apply this today? How do you apply? How do we apply this today? You think no need? There are the other three feasts. Forget about it. No? No. No trumpets. Especially at the coming of the Lord, we need a trumpet. First of all, you need to preach the gospel to your friends, that many more will be saved. Right. If you and I don't share the gospel to our friends and relatives, who is going to tell them? Who is going to warn them? You have to share. Right. Who is going to warn the Christians to come out of Babylon? The angels? You have some relatives that are elsewhere, right? Who is going to tell them, come, what the Lord wants today is this, this, and that? Or are you afraid to offend them? Oh, don't talk about Babylon. You are going to offend people. And they are going to be against you. Don't mention Babylon. In other words, don't blow the trumpets. Right? Don't blow the trumpets. How about that? If you don't tell people what God's plan is today, how are they going to come out of Babylon? If you don't tell them about Jerusalem, about Zion, if we cannot even talk about it in the church life, fearing to offend anybody, what are we going to do? You're going to keep your trumpet in a nice box there. Polish it every day. Silver trumpet. And just put it there as a nice decoration in your cabinet. Right? What is Stefan? Stefan, you blow the trumpet. A long time you didn't touch your trumpet anymore. I heard you were a very good trumpet player. But, you know, he retired. He put it away. Put it away. Well, it's about time for us to retrieve our trumpet, polish it again, and start playing it, blowing the trumpet. Yeah. Amen. Right. We have to do this because the time is very short. When the time is so short and you don't buy up the time to really tell people the truth, whether they like to hear, they don't like to hear, sorry. Right? But if you don't tell the truth, you will never know who wants to hear. Of course, you don't want to purposely offend people. No. But, you know, the trumpet sound has to be a nice sound. No, don't do that. Nobody likes to hear that, right? Right? trying to, you know, it's not easy to blow, right? You go, nothing comes out. So you really need to practice, right? Practice. How long does it take to practice to really play well? Every day, an hour at least. Ah, listen. Do you do that? No. Every day, just share a little bit of the gospel to somebody. No wonder after so long, you still cannot play your trumpet. Go. Nothing. Even your face became red. Nothing came out, right? Nothing came out. But if you are exercise, you practice every day, an hour, a little bit every day, you will become a very good trumpet player. You think it is a joke? No, it is not. Because the day is drawing nigh. We have to buy up the time. Do our best to speak the truth to our dear friends out of love for them. Right? To warn them concerning the Lord's coming again. The Lord is definitely coming. Are you ashamed to say that to your friends? Right? Show them Daniel chapter 9. How about that? Ah, I'm so glad at the university you preached the gospel concerning the second coming of the Lord to prove to them that according to the word, the first coming was absolutely fulfilled to the dot. Now, don't you think the second coming of the Lord will also be fulfilled to the dot according to the word of God? So, you need to speak the truth to people. Blow the trumpet. This is really wonderful. Right? Learn how to preach the gospel to people out of your heart, out of love for people. Get some wisdom from the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit teach you how to play the trumpet. Right? This is very important. Right? And we have to know what the Lord is doing today. Oh, praise the Lord. What are we doing here in this conference? You're learning about the feast. To keep the feast. Right? Is it that hard? No. But this is really wonderful. We need to blow the trumpet. Teach everyone to keep the feast in a rich way. So the first thing you need to do in the seventh month, the first day of the month is to learn to blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Right? Because the Lord is really coming soon. Right? Okay. Praise the Lord. You can see that the blowing of the trumpet near the second coming of the Lord, the gathering of God's people at the end of the age. Because when the Lord comes back, He's going to gather everything. Believe me. Positive and negative, everything is going to be gathered. You remember Matthew chapter 13, you have the dragnet. Right? You have the dragnet. The dragnet was thrown into the sea to gather all kinds of fish. And then the good fish the Lord will gather in, the bad fish will be thrown back into the lake of fire, actually. Right? So, it's a time of gathering. Right? And it's the gathering of the first fruits. And it's the gathering of the harvest. And Armageddon is the gathering of all the armies of the whole nation like grapes and put them into the winepress of His wrath. Oh, it's also a gathering. You know, it's a gathering time. Praise the Lord. How about that? And in Matthew chapter 25, you have the gathering, right? Of the 10 virgins, you have the gathering. 5 were gathered into the wedding feast. The other 5, I don't know where they be, into the outer darkness. Then you have the gathering of the sheep and the goats. There's a lot of gathering. That's why it's called the in gathering. The in gathering, the feast of the in gathering. The Lord is going to gather a lot. Good and bad and his people. And my goodness, it's a gathering. That is why you all need to appreciate the chart concerning the kingdom, right? I hope you get some help concerning the chart, because it's really a time of gathering. The gathering of the first fruits, the gathering of God's people in the harvest, the gathering of the woman, the man-child, the gathering of the Jewish people, the gathering of the unbelievers, all kinds of gathering. Which gathering do you prefer? Definitely, yeah. No doubt about that. That's the best gathering. Right. But today we need to help one another. Right. Praise the Lord. And then we have to tell people concerning the Lord's second coming. Yeah. And number 3 here. The speaking of the Lord and the Spirit to the churches. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking. Not just what, the speaking. There's so many voices, but you need to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. Don't just hear a message. Don't just hear me. Forget about me. But you have to have a sharp ear to listen to the Spirit. If I'm not speaking anything of the Spirit, throw me out. But if it is the Spirit speaking, you have to learn to listen. Whether you like it or not, you have to listen to what the Spirit is speaking. But the churches didn't even want to hear the Lord speaking, because the Lord was rebuking them. So nobody listened. What would you like to listen to? Nice words or the truth? The truth is painful. No pain, no gain. Huh? You all agree? Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Right? And then, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 says, resurrection time. Oh, praise the Lord. A trumpet. Then, of course, then you have the ingathering I already mentioned. Right? The positive harvest, the negative harvest. Wow. There are so many different kinds of harvests. You need to get into the Word. The final harvest, the ingathering, the last harvest of the year. Firstly, the harvest of the man-child. Praise God. Amen. Wonderful harvest. And of course, you have the harvest of the woman. The man-child went to the throne. The woman went to the wilderness. Which is better? Of course, right? I think we all made the right choice. The throne is the best place to go. If you're harvested, then the first fruits. Right? So positively here, you have the harvest of the man-child, and the woman went to the wilderness. Then you have the harvest of the first fruits. They went to Mount Zion with the Lamb standing on the heavenly Mount Zion before the throne. And then the rest had to go through the great tribulation. Now, which one would you prefer? The first fruits. And not wait until the last harvest. It is harvest time. And then, during the time of the great tribulation, you have the harvest of the martyrs. And they were gathered to where? To the sea of glass. Yeah, you have to see this. You know, God is very specific. And not all mixed up. We like to mix up everything, right? Throw all the harvest, ripen, not ripen, or throw them into the same basket. With the rotten, the ripen, the unripen. Goodness. Would you like to do that? No. No, no, no. God is not like that. The man-child went to the throne. The first fruits went to heavenly Mount Zion. And the martyrs during the great tribulation went into the sea of glass, which is already mingled with fire. It's a little bit hot. Yeah. Because the Lord already turned on the fire. And that means they barely made it. Barely made it. Yeah. Amen. Then you have the general harvest at the end of the great tribulation. And you will be harvested to the air. There will be the judgment seat of Christ. The woman and the general harvest, all will be harvested. Right? Amen. Then the negative harvest. I think you should read it yourself. The harvest of the grapes to be gathered into the winepress of God's wrath, which will be the battle of Armageddon. All the verses are there. Then the parable of the dragnet. After Armageddon, God will send his angels because the Lord comes back. And the angel will gather all the unsaved among the nations, which correspond very much to the parable of the sheep and the goats. This will be the judgment of the nations. Yeah. Of course, I didn't write down here the harvest of the Jews. Yeah. Right. But you already know this, right? But, I don't know what happened to our chart. They're all gone. You have a new chart. You have a new chart. So you can really see the Lord's coming. It is really very important for us to really know. And this is where you have to let the Christian know what happened and what is happening, whether they believe it or not. And you have to learn how to blow the trumpet by showing them the living word of God. It is what?
Written.
It is written. Nobody can argue with it. Right? Learn how to use the word of God to blow the right sound of the trumpet. Show them the word. Tell them to read it again. And we hope and trust in the Holy Spirit to open their eyes. We don't want to argue with anyone. No, do not argue with anybody. No arguing, no biting, no fighting. No need to argue with anyone. But out of your heart, you tell them the truth. Show them the word. Take out your silver trumpet. Tell them, just sit there. Let me play you the trumpet. How about that? I'll play you a heavenly concert. Show them the word. But then, that's why you have this outline for you to learn, get into the word. The notes, you know, the word is like the notes. And you have the trumpet. So you learn how to play the notes, right? Learn to read the notes and to play it with your trumpet. Well, anyone who wants to play the trumpet, they have to learn. If you don't learn, you can't play. Right? If you want to play, you have to learn and practice and exercise. This is really wonderful. That is why the first feast we need to keep is the feast of the trumpet. Now, we have 15 minutes. Let's quickly go to the second feast of the seventh month. The Day of Atonement. On the 10th of the seventh month. The Day of Atonement. My, why is it called the Day of Atonement? Why? Because even as God's people, we have still offended God in many ways. You're not one with God. We try so hard to be one with one another, we forgot to be one with God. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to take off my jacket. It's too hot. Right? We try so hard to be one with one another and forgot that there is God. So, while trying to be one, we offended God so much, which is not very good. Really. The first one you have to be one with is now with me. And for me to be one is now with you, primarily, firstly. But it is to be one with God. And that's why it corresponds to the peace offering. So the peace offering, is it just peace with you and me? Oh, shake my hand. You don't want to shake my hand. Because he would tell me, John, firstly, you and I must be right with God. If you're not right with God, I'm not right with God, and we just want to have peace, how long will this peace last? It's going to last for a couple of years. Right? And then our peace with God must be continuous. Because we are fallen. We still have leaven. We still have the flesh. Right? So, in Romans chapter 5, there is a peace with God. But that's the initial peace with God. For, by faith, through His grace, right? Even through His precious blood, we have peace with God. Through the death, we are reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, right? Are you not reconciled to God? Completely? No. No. Tell me, are the saints in Corinth, the church in Corinth, fully reconciled to God? They can't even reconcile to one another. Right? So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what did Paul say at the very end? Being an ambassador of Christ, I admonish you, be reconciled to God. He is not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the saints who are in the church in Corinth. Their problem is not just that they're fighting with one another. The reason they fight with one another because they are not reconciled to God. And why are you not reconciled to God? Because you're not in the spirit. You're in the flesh. We are still in ourself. We have not learned to deny ourself and our soul life. That's why you're easily offended, and I'm easily offended. And then when you're offended, you become unreasonable. Sometimes I didn't even know I offended you, but you got, all the fire is coming out of your ears, your nose, your eyes, and then, of course, your mouth. Wow, oh, goodness. This is scary. Really scary. Why? Because we are not reconciled to God. There is no atonement, no reconciliation with God. Be ye reconciled to God. So what do you have to do in that day of atonement? Tell me, did you read what to do in the atonement, the day of atonement? There's only one thing you need to do. It's very, very simple, very easy. What do you do? Huh? No, I don't like to do that. I love my soul too much. I'll afflict your soul. I will afflict your soul. I'm not going to afflict my soul. I'll afflict your soul. Well, let me tell you, the Lord is already coming soon. What do you want? You will be in trouble. I will be in trouble if I'm not reconciled to God. What does the Lord say? If anybody wants to be saved and believe in me, he has to deny himself. Wrong. Not believe, he says, if any man wants to follow me, not believe in me. Believe, you just have to believe, that's all. You don't need to deny yourself to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? No. By faith you are saved, not of works, not by denying yourself and soul life. You are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not because you deny yourself. Because when I got saved, you got saved, nobody told us to deny ourselves, did they? Were you saved because you deny yourself? Why? How did you get saved? Confessing the Lord and be baptized into Him. That's it. Yes. Very simple. Right? What about to be reconciled to God? What about if you want to follow the Lord Jesus? If you want to follow the Lamb? The Lamb wants to go this direction, which is totally against your concept. What are you going to do? Really? But you love to go that way. But the Lamb is going this direction. So which direction do you want to go? Huh? That direction? But your soul life says, no, this, I like this, this is the better way. What are you going to do? You afflict your soul. You say no to your soul. No? Is that good or not? The Lord says, anyone among God's people in this day of atonement who does not afflict his soul will be what? Cut off. Does it mean you lose your salvation? Definitely not. But that means that when he comes back in his kingdom, you have no part of the millennial kingdom. So, are we going to keep the Feast of Atonement or not? Yes? Amen? Agreed? It's a wonderful Feast of Atonement. Ah, the requirement to afflict our souls. Oh, this is really good. This exactly correspond to what the Lord says. You must deny yourself. If you are a person who learned to deny yourself, it will be very difficult to offend you. Even if I looked at you, oh, you bald-headed brother. How come you're still smiling? If you tell that to me, oh boy, I might not be able to sleep for 10 nights. What am I going to do? What if somebody offends you? What if I offended you? What are you going to do? What if I not try to offend you, but maybe offended you unknowingly? What are you going to do? You will tell me, John, you have to afflict your soul. No, you need to afflict your soul. And tell me, John, what you said is, I'm sorry, not true. If you tell me that, I will really apologize to you. I'm sorry, brother. I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't know that saying that will really afflict your soul. I didn't mean to afflict your soul. Being fully reconciled to God. This is really wonderful. To be fully reconciled to God. And then being saved to the uttermost. You know, many times, all of this situation is just help us to afflict our souls. And that will save our souls. Right? The Lord says, if you want to follow me, you have to what? Deny yourself, pick up your own cross, and follow me. This is the same as keeping the feast of the Day of Atonement. Right? And Hebrews says, this means to be saved, not just a little bit, but to be saved to the uttermost. And this is a growing process. And to be saved to the uttermost also means that you are reaching full maturity of your spiritual life. And I wrote down here the example of the apostles. Right. At the end, they all became martyrs. They all mature in life. No problem to pour themselves out as a drink offering for God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, we finished the last first two feasts. Tomorrow, we will cover the last feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. And before the Lord comes back, these two feasts we need to learn to keep. Right? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.